good, but we also need to give praise to God. And glad you're able to be back with us today, and glad to have Linda Hill back with us today. She's still recovering from surgery, and Barbara had the flu. Glad to have Brother Bub with us today. Brother Truman had a little eye surgery, I believe, this week, didn't he? Thursday, okay. So let's remember him. So it's good to be in God's house today, and we're thankful not only for the blessings of God, but the fact that we're able to gather together. And, you know, for whatever time left this morning that we share together, I pray that God will be honored and he'll be glorified by everything that's said and done here today. If you want to follow along in my reading, I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 33, Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and of course we're talking about Christ, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man called for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. I'm going to stop with those verses. That's reading verses 33 through verse 50 for my lesson this morning. My focus verse is going to be that 46th verse, where Jesus had cried with a loud voice and said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" If I was to title my message today, I'm going to title it Jesus' Lonely Journey, Christ's Lonely Journey. This morning as we gather here, brothers and sisters, I don't know if we think about it, but we're on a journey. We're traveling a road. We're on a journey. And the road or the journey of duty, of obedience, you know, we are to be obedient and we are to be responsible to fulfill the duties that God has placed upon us. And when I think about what I read to you this morning, I think about Jesus. And he is an example to us of this journey, of this road, of this duty, of this obedience that needed to be fulfilled. And, you know, today today we refer to as Palm Sunday. And we celebrate the entry, or as my Bible says, off to the side, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And, of course, this is the week before the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, Jesus, as he was traveling to Jerusalem, I don't think, at least not in my mind, and as I read in the scriptures, there's no confusion on my part, and there's no confusion, and there was no confusion on Jesus' part. As he was going to Jerusalem, he knew exactly what was coming. He knew exactly what was going to transpire there. He knew that the journey, the road that he was traveling, he knew that ultimately it was going to lead to his sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary for the sins of all of mankind. He knew that. And yet he still walked and traveled that road. You know, many churches this day, you know, they refer to this as Passion Sunday. And it marks the beginning of Holy Week. And I'm just going to throw this in here. You know, every year the First Methodist Church has Holy Week. And each day from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, you can gather for service and you can gather for lunch afterwards. And I want to encourage everyone, you know, each day there's a different speaker. Tomorrow, Monday, Brother Ronnie Stewart from Rushing's Creek Missionary Baptist Church will be the speaker. So I want to ask you to be prayerful for him and support him if you are able to do that. And I also want to encourage all of us, you know, I guess I can confidently say that none of us read the Bible as much as we could or should. And I'm including myself in that statement. And I want to ask you this week, make an exception. Do something different. I want to encourage you this week to every day pick up your Bible. The account of what I'm talking about and what transpired in Jesus' life is recorded in all of the Gospels. And we can read about what happened to Christ physically this week as it is upon us from the very beginning of his entry into Jerusalem and what took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And, of course, we know the arrest and the trial and of course, the crucifixion of our Lord, his death and his burial and his resurrection, it's all recorded there. And I think we would be good to read those things and remind ourselves of those things. And then I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to spend a little extra time in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to spend a little extra time in meditation this week. And these things that you read about in God's Word, apply those things to your life personally. What I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, this is a season of hope. You know, this is it for God's people. This is the basis of our faith and what we believe about salvation. And so this is a season of great hope. And I believe this morning as I try to share God's Word with you, I believe that Jesus Christ, he is our hope. I believe that he is the only hope for humanity. And that message of the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that his resurrection brought to humanity, it's a message that needs to be shared. And, you know, this road that Jesus walked, this road to that empty tomb, what transpired from the beginning to the end when that tomb was empty, it first began with a lot of suffering. And it began with the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, our heart and our mind ought to focus on what the Lord endured. You know, this Friday, we call it Good Friday. And I can tell you this morning that, you know, at the time that this was happening, there wasn't anything that was good about it. The suffering that our Lord had to endure, you know, our hearts pain at times. I don't know about you, but we go through some things in life. And, you know, sometimes at the time that they're happening to us, sometimes we just don't understand it, and sometimes we have a hard time dealing with it. But, you know, after it happens, in retrospect, how we can look back on what transpired, and we can see what God was doing and how it worked in our lives. And I think that's the same thing when we say Good Friday. There was nothing good at the time of what our Lord was enduring. But in retrospect, as we look back on that, we can see that that leads directly to new life, and it leads to victory that people experience in salvation in the Lord because of what our Lord was willing to do when they put their faith in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me for a few moments this morning about Christ on the cross. You know, we need to remember that Jesus came in a fleshly form. Jesus, he was in the flesh. And, you know, as I think about this, you know, and I relate to all of us, I guess, You know, every one of us has a threshold of pain. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever been in the hospital and you're laying there and you're uncomfortable and the nurse comes in and says, you know, what's your pain level? You know, is it 1 to 10 or, you know, you got the smiley faces? Is it good or bad? You know, what is your pain level, or what is the threshold of pain that you have? What is the level of tolerance that you have? And you know as well as I do, it's different for everybody. You know, somebody might say it's a 5. Well, somebody else is going through the same thing. It's a 10. And somebody who it's a 10 for, the next person say, it's not that bad, you know. So we all have different thresholds that we have for pain. But, you know, when we reach that maximum point, when we reach the point where we're past what we can bear anymore, then we get into that realm of delirium, you know, where we're just almost out of it. And I think that when we think about what our Lord was going through, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how far had Jesus gone in all of this? With all that had transpired, where was Jesus mentally at this point in time? And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe this morning that the Lord may have been on the borderline of delirium as he was in suffering and going through all of these things, but he still had enough wit about himself to be able to look back, and he had enough consciousness about himself to be able to look back into the scriptures and to be able to pull one to his remembrance to be able to share with them. And that verse was Psalms 22 and 1, where David, when he was speaking and David was expressing what he was going through, his feelings, Jesus took that 22nd chapter, first verse of Psalms, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David, in that passage, he went a little bit further, and he said, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? The words that Jesus spake, how they came toward near the end of his suffering on the cross. You know, his enemies, they had already openly mocked him and did so many things. But I find it interesting that even his enemies, they had knowledge of Scripture, because they too went into Scripture and pulled out Scripture. And we see that, you know, in my reading in verse 43, it said, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. You know, that we look at that same 22nd chapter of Psalms in the 8th verse, and he said, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighteth in him. You see, David gave us I'm going to call it an amazing, accurate description of the suffering of the Messiah, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ that was yet to come. Yes, I know David at that time, he was going through some things himself, but you know, just like David, the Savior, Jesus, even all that he was going through, victory was ahead. Victory was yet ahead. And this morning, I want us to think about that. You know, what was happening at Calvary? What was happening? Jesus was walking down that lonesome road in order to bring about a forgiveness to all of mankind. All of mankind had sinned, and sin was upon us, and there needed to be a way for reconciliation to come. And Jesus was walking this lonesome road. And you say, Pastor, what are you talking about, lonesome road? There were people all around. There was great crowds. Jesus wasn't alone. There were people that there round about him. But I want you to think for a minute. There are some things that we go through in life that others can do with us. There's some things that others can help us with. And then there's some things that we have to do alone. And I want us to understand, it didn't matter how many people were around Jesus, we need to understand that Jesus was at a place where what needed to be done could only be done by him. There was nobody else that could do it. You know, Jesus had been in a similar place like this before. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus went to pray, his disciples went with him, and he told them, you sit here and you wait. And he said, you pray. And he said, I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to pray. And I'm paraphrasing it right now, but you know Jesus did. And he prayed with great anguish, and he came back to the disciples, and there they were, earnest in prayer and calling out. That's not right, is it? What were they doing? Yeah, they were asleep. Jesus had asked them to pray, and they were asleep. And he said, couldn't you just stay awake a little bit and just pray for me? He says, pray for me. And Jesus went off to pray again. And when he came back, this time, what were they doing? They were sleeping again, weren't they? Three times Jesus caught them sleeping. He was on his own. It was a lonely road, except he really wasn't alone then completely, because as we think about God's Word, we know that the Father was there with him. And as he said, sit here and wait, he knew that they were sleeping, but they weren't. And I understand what was happening. I understand how fatigued and tired they were. If we look at what had transpired there, they were exhausted. And Jesus just wanted them to go just a little bit further. Just go a little bit further with me is what he wanted. And you know, brothers and sisters, I think about the relationship with God and the Lord that we have. You know, he never leaves us. You know, we think about what the Scriptures teach us. He's always with us. He's always watching over us, and he always cares for his own. Even when we're going through our darkest hour and we think we're alone, he's always there, because the Scriptures tell us that God is omnipotent. He's always present. He's always there with us. One of the greatest heresies, I would say, is to believe that that God forsakes his own. He doesn't forsake his own. The Scriptures tell us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The Scripture told us that he is with us always, even until the end of the world. What a blessing. Thank God we don't have to wait until we die to get in God's presence. I'm thankful that we can be confident and we can be assured of the teaching of God's Word, that from the moment that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, from the moment that we've experienced salvation, we have the indwelling of God's Spirit and we have the presence of the Lord with us at all times. But you see, it wasn't that way for Jesus. It wasn't that way for Jesus. His case was different. You know, as a human, he suffered. He suffered greatly. And I believe we as God's people, we've got to never for one moment forget this fact about the Lord's life, the suffering that the Lord went through for us. And although the Father was with him in times of loneliness and heartache, you know, in that Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Jesus said this to them, he said, thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me 12 legions of angels? You know, so the Lord's presence was there. But this case that I'm talking about now, this day, that it was different this time. It was different. Jesus had come to pay the ultimate price, and there was only one who was able to pay the price for the sins of humanity. And God willed, God the Father, he willed that humans must be saved from their sins by divine intervention, by a divine substitute. And that divine substitute was Jesus. Nobody else could do what Jesus came to do. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to not take the cost of our salvation anything other than serious. We got to remember there was a cost. There was a supreme cost. And, you know, I don't want to get too graphic in details this morning, but I'll tell you what, a death by crucifixion was the most horrible death that anyone could experience. And we as God's children, we need to understand what he endured and what he suffered. We need to think about, when we think about the cost of our salvation, we need to think about those spikes that were driven through the flesh of his hands and his feet as he was nailed to the cross of Calvary. How we need to think about the weight of his body nailed to the cross as they lifted it up and they sunk it down into the hole so it would stand up, and how it must have no doubt jolted and pulled against him being attached to that cross. We need to think about the scourging that he took before he even got that far. We need to think about the scorching sun that was coming down upon him. We need to think about the crown of thorns that was crammed down on top of his head. And all the other annoyances that were there, the insects, the bugs, the birds, all of those things that our Savior had to endure. And of course, the piercing even of his side as he hung on that cross. On and on, the suffering could be described. That's why I said, you read the Gospels. Read them all this week and see what Jesus endured on behalf of us. There has never been a more cruel form of execution than that of crucifixion upon a cross. And Jesus, I was going to say Jesus had to pay that price, but that's not true. He was the only one who could, but he didn't have to, but he did. And the reason he did it, out of duty and obedience to the Father, love for the Father, and love for you and I. And I'm thankful today that he was willing to pay that price. Paul says that in this way, he said, God becomes both the just and the justifier of those who put their faith in him. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. And so he's just in that God accepted the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. And he's the justifier of all of those that believe in who he is and what he did for all of humanity. It takes our faith to enter into a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, but he takes our faith and he judges it acceptable unto God. Jesus gave his life a ransom. He gave his life a ransom for me. He gave it for you. He gave it to every person throughout time past and until the time when he comes back to gather together his own. You think about the Lord. He was, he is the Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice who bore the debt, the sin debt of the world. What a Savior, as we sang. What a Savior. For him to be an effective substitute for our guilt, he had to bear our sins, and he had to do it alone. Even God the Father turned his back on him. And I know people argue that, but what I mean by that is, you know, Jesus came to the point where he sensed that God had withdrawn his presence. He got to the point where he sensed that God had removed deliverance. He got to the point where he knew that there was a separation that took place between God and man because of sin, and Jesus had to bear the curse of that separation alone on that cross of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as I said, we're on a road too. We're on a journey too. And I want us to realize this morning when we stop and think about what Jesus did for us. You know, he didn't just provide a way for us to be saved. Thank God he did. And we have that blessed promise and assurance. But as I try to preach and instruct all the time, that's not the end of our journey. That's just the beginning. That's when we just begin to live for the Lord. And that means when we begin to live for the Lord, then we got to abide by the teachings of God's Word, and we're to be his ambassadors, and we're to fulfill the commission. That's when we're just beginning to work for the Lord and to be able to enjoy all the blessings that he has for us. And, you know, it's not always going to be easy. But the teaching of God's Word is you and I, we have to be faithful unto the Lord. We've got to remain faithful unto the Lord. There's a cost for us too. And the cost to us or for us, I think, is going to get greater with every day that passes. And I got to tell you, throughout Jesus' ministry, he was on a journey. He was on a road to duty and obedience. But listen, all along the way that Jesus was going, he was encouraged to turn aside from the ultimate goal. You think about the temptation that he experienced in the wilderness. All of those things were to get him off track, to get him off the road from fulfilling his duty. And, you know, his friends, you know, those that were around him, you know, they didn't want to see him die. Peter rebuked him, as a matter of fact, when the Lord spoke about his coming death. We think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. His own soul trembled when the bitterness of that cup was placed in his hands. Nevertheless, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem and he walked. He continued on the road, that path of duty and obedience that he was on. And again, I thank the Lord for that. He endured the pain of the cross without ever uttering a word of complaint to him about it. The road the journey, the walk for Jesus. It was lonesome. He was alone. Nobody else could do what he did. But thank God he endured. Thank the Lord that he walked and accomplished it. Brothers and sisters, as I said, our journey, our walk, our duty means that, you know what, there's going to be some difficulties in our path. There's going to be some stumbling blocks that people are going to try to put in our way that are going to take us away from doing what we've been called to do for our Lord and Savior. So, you know, what needs to be done or what needs to be thought of on our part? Well, I think we just need to stop and realize that, you know, this work is important. Jesus did what needed to be done so we can be reconciled to the Father, but there's a great work to be done. And he's using you and I as the ones to accomplish this work. And if we're going to do it, I'm going to tell you what it's going to require. It's going to require some effort on our part. It's going to require some restraint on our part. It's going to require some sacrifice on our part. It's going to require some discipline on our part. And it's going to require us to stand on our principles in order that we might be able to reach the goal. And, of course, to reach that goal, it's going to require great patience as well. We know where we're going. We've got the promise and assurance that Jesus is preparing a place for us. As the Scripture says, he's preparing it so that we can be where He is. But in the meantime, there's still a lot of work that's got to get done. The most important thing is that we cannot do our duty, we cannot accomplish the work that the Lord has for us without love. You know, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary out of love for all of us. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that for us. And I truly believe that loneliness was present every step of the way because there was no other way. And you know, sometimes as we're traveling our road, we're going to feel lonely too. We're going to feel like we're only there by ourselves. Everybody else is doing what they want to do and we're trying to walk this pathway. Listen, stay on the pathway. Get down and pray and ask God to help you to get through whatever it is that you're trying to get through, to accomplish whatever it is you're trying to accomplish for Him that He's called you to do. Don't give up. Stay the course. Stay the path. I think we all understand this morning that nothing worthwhile ever comes easy. We understand that you got to put something into things to be able to get something out. But listen, the reward, the toiling, the working that we do, you know, it's always worth it. I'm so glad that, you know, God promises us great rewards when we get to heaven. But I'm so thankful today that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to appreciate any of that. Because He also gives us rewards here in this life. When we're faithful to Him and we accomplish the work that He's called us to do, we're able to enjoy, we're able to reap some of the harvest from the seeds that have been sown. And, you know, when I stop and think about that, you know, one of the greatest rewards for our labor is not what we get from it, but what we become as a result of it. You know, that's one of the greatest blessings. You know, so many people are in this life doing things for what they can get out of it. We do things for what we become as a result of it by being faithful and obedient to the Lord. The road, brothers and sisters, as we pursue our duty, as we try to be obedient to God, obedient to His word, and obedient to His commands, and obedient to the commissions that He has given us. You know, sometimes it can be lonely, but as I said, the rewards, earthly and heavenly, that God gives us, they are well worth it. If you haven't experienced them, try God. I am so thankful for the rewards that I have experienced in this life by being faithful to the Lord. And you know, it's like anything else in life. You know, when I was working my secular job and I would do the job that I was hired to do and called upon to do, that's what they were paying me to do. But you know, when my boss would come around and he'd give me a pat on the back and he'd say, "Man, you did a good job. And you did that just the way we wanted that done." And, you know, how did that make me feel? Man, give me the next job. I'm ready. And that's the way we as God's people ought to be. We are rewarded by God for our faithfulness, and it should move us forward for Him. How long do we got to do this? How long are we working? How long are we laboring for? Until He comes back, right? He's coming back. He's going to gather us together His own, and then we'll be able to be the recipients of those heavenly rewards that God has for us. We've got a great responsibility to get the gospel message out to a lost and dying world. Otherwise, what Christ endured on the cross was in vain. But thank God we know it wasn't in vain. It was real. And let me say this too. If there's anyone here this morning that's unsaved, you know, it can be a lonely road too. You hear the gospel truth and you know what the consequences of sin is. The Bible's clear about that. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. And it can be a lonely road sometimes. But you know what? Salvation is a personal experience between you and God. And you just got to get down and make an altar somewhere, someplace where you can bow and pray and call upon the Lord and trust in Him with all your heart. And the teaching of God's Word is that the Lord will save you. But once saved, listen, what a glorious road it is to travel. You know, we sing a song sometimes, I wouldn't take nothing from our journey now. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. I wouldn't take nothing for what, there's nothing this world has that could entice me from my journey. Because I'm thankful and grateful to a loving God who gave His Son for my sins. In closing, I want to remind you again this week, think about the Lord. Think about His walk. Think about His journey. Think about the road that He traveled to accomplish the duties and to be obedient to His Father. And think about what it means to you personally. And this morning, as I close, I don't do this very often, but I want to close with a poem. I want to share a poem with you. The title of the poem is, Still He Walked. Still He Walked. The author is unknown, but this is what it said. He could hear the crowd screaming, crucify Him, crucify Him. He could hear the hatred in their voices. These were His chosen people. He loved them. And they were going to crucify Him. He was beaten, bleeding, weakened. His heart was broken, but still He walked. He could see the crowd as they came from the palace. He knew each of the faces so well. He had created them. He knew every smile, laugh, and shed tear. But now they were contorted with rage and anger. His heart broke, but still He walked. Was He scared? You and I would have been. So His humanness would have mandated that He was. He felt alone. His disciples had left, denied, and even betrayed Him. He searched the crowd for a loving face, and He saw very few. Then He turned His eyes to the only one that mattered, and He knew that He would never be alone. He looked back at the crowd, at the people who were spitting at Him, throwing rocks at Him, and mocking Him, and He knew that because of Him, they would never be alone. So for them, He walked. The sound of the hammer striking the spikes echoed through the crowd. The sounds of His cries echoed even louder. The cheers of the crowd as His hands and feet were nailed to the cross intensified with each blow. Loudest of all was that still small voice inside His heart which whispered, I am with you, my son. And God's heart broke. He had let His Son walk. Jesus could have asked God to end His suffering, but instead He asked God to forgive. Not to forgive Him, but to forgive the ones who were persecuting Him. As He hung on the cross, dying an unimaginable death, He looked out and He saw not only the faces in the crowd, but also the face of every person yet to be. And His heart filled with love. As His body was dying, His heart was alive. Alive with the limitless, unconditional love He feels for each of us. That is why He walked. When I forget how much God loves me, I remember His walk. When I wonder if I can be forgiven, I remember His walk. When I need reminded of how to live like Christ, I think of his walk. And to show him how much I love him, I wake up each morning, I turn my eyes to him, and I walk. I thought that that was a powerful poem, and in closing today, let's walk for the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's walk for the Lord, because he walked for us. That's my message today. May God bless you, is my prayer. I thank the Lord for his love and mercy. I thank the Lord for the salvation of my soul. I know where I'm headed. I don't know when I'm going, but I know when I'm where I'm headed, and I know this morning that I'm ready. I've been saved by grace through faith. I hope you have too. Is there a word on anyone's heart before we bring our service to a close this morning? All right. Just remember Nash. He's going to have some surgery done on Tuesday. We'll keep you posted on that. Someone else, word on your hearts. As we stand together, please this week, meditate on the Lord. Meditate as we sang, "How great thou art, what a great God we serve." Let's stand together. Anything else on your hearts? If you can, come back and be with us tonight. Service is at 6 o'clock. Be prayerful for that service and come back and be with us if you can. Anything at all? Amen.